Pod Tackler, episode 356, PAX East 2013 recap for March 24th, 2013.
Well, this is Hubcast episode 150.
And this is Podtacular episode 356.
Bite me.
It's our Sesquicentenni cast.
Sesquicentenni cast.
Yes.
Woo!
Does that mean we need to get naked?
I mean, always need to get naked.
You always
hurry up, baby. I planned ahead.
Well, I mean, considering that we're live streaming video for the chat box, I think it would be an interesting time. I already had a cookie. I'm good. Thank you. But so we are live at PAX. We are currently in Boston, Massachusetts, right outside Boston Commons, in this lovely furnished apartment that has a lot of weird noises. And
Do you want to go into detail on those weird noises, or do we just want to leave that as a mystery?
Well, every time you flush the toilet, there's a dunk, 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 dunk.
It goes on for like half an hour.
Yeah, we haven't figured out what that is. We think it's a
haunted. It's a haunted toilet.
Yeah, we think there's a ghost like stuck in the water closet, and it's like every time you flush, you take all the water or you drown them or something, and they're dunk, 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 trying to get out. Or there's a woodpecker who's tied to the, what's the thing you call the flusher?
I think it's just air in the pipes.
The thingy.
It's not nozzle.
Riley, what's it called?
Bulb?
What? Air?
The thingy where you flush the toilet.
Flapper?
Yeah.
We'll go with that.
Yeah, that's it.
The handle?
Yeah, handle. There we go. Okay.
It's a pretty technical thing.
It's not even actually talking about in the toilet.
No. Okay. It's early.
Why are we talking about things that go in the toilet?
You should go like on an audio video excursion to the toilet and show us all.
Just flush it, but then everybody would hear the dunk, 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 dunk for the rest
of
the podcast.
Yeah, there you go. Do that. And then you could point out the handle. That's
yeah,
technical.
I have a video that I took. I tried to post it to Twitter, but it failed, and I didn't realize that till yesterday.
Oh.
So it's there, and we have it. But other than our toilet, PAX has been really fun. Thursday night, we got to go to a exclusive Halo 4 343 Industries plus Mad Cats.
Mad Cats.
Did you tell Mad Cats how much I love them?
Yeah, that's when we had to leave.
I can't see the camera, so I'm...
We love Mad Cats.
And I just want to point out some of the stuff that's in this Mad Cat swag bag, because it's super interesting. Such as...
Random stuff.
Is there a pair of detonators in there that actually work?
No, definitely not. But figures. If anybody has an iPhone 5, there's a Street Fighter Hello Kitty case.
Street Fighter Hello Kitty?
Yes. Because that obviously is what I think of.
Conflicting themes?
I don't know, can you guys see it okay?
Here's a constipation diarrhea medicine. I don't know. What's going on?
One of the many things.
You know who would rock that? I think Johnny would rock that.
He would kill you for saying that.
And we also got a Tropico 4 Gold Edition for the PC, which neither Cal or I have.
Hey, the Tropico 4?
Yeah.
That's Isn't actually that pretty, a pretty good game.
Yeah, I think it's a good game.
Well, if somebody wants it and has a PC with DirectX 9, there you go.
Oh, not DirectX 9, probably, now.
Yeah, there's a ton of just really random stuff.
There's this one for the...
Yeah, we got that, too.
You should just dump it all out on the floor and show us.
Street Fighters.
I think it says a lot about Mad Cats that they gave you a bag full of stuff that doesn't have anything from Mad Cats. What is Dusty holding up? What is that thing? What's that for, like an iPad or something?
Yeah,
an iPad case.
Condom, isn't it?
I think Honcho should put that on his iPad. That would be hilarious.
For our PC gamers, we have a Rat wireless mobile gaming mouse by Mad Cats. So.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
I don't want that. I don't want that at all.
Someone actually looked online, and this retails for $160.
Those are not cheap.
I'll totally take it, though.
$10.
I volunteer's tribute.
Yeah, those...
I mean, Lambchop had said that he wanted... he needs payload, and he was willing to launch the Mad Cats stuff into space for us. But if this is worth $160, we might be having a Griff Ball Hub eBay auction going on.
So there was some Halo stuff in there, though.
eBay that.
Yes, yeah. There was a... what is this?
This is the Nokia Luma 900 case.
Yep. And there was also, I got one for the
I
iPhone.
Have that. Wait, what is it? I have the Luma.
It's a Lumia Halo 4 case.
I totally want that because that's what I have, yo.
Okay.
All right.
I'm surprised it's not a Halo Kitty.
There's also the iPhone 4S case. UNSC case.
And of course, I have a 5, so that
Oh, that's pretty
rolls.
Cool.
You can use the Street Fighter one.
Yeah,
whatever. Well, just Hello Kitty, battle to the death.
I don't think I will.
And of course, as you mentioned, the Krypton book.
And then the Krypton book hardcover.
Which is the first one out of the Forerunner trilogy.
So.
And the Sun just came out.
So you could tell the stuff that Waypoint put in and the stuff that Mad Cats put in. So, but more exciting than the swag bag was actually going and getting to sit there. And I hugged Kevin Franklin and he hugged me back. And it was
awkward.
It was wonderful. And he talked to me.
Yes,
it would have been awkward if the rest of us were there.
Why?
Like if Nanadel was there.
Well, he's not allowed to hug Kevin Franklin. I've called dibs.
Ooh.
Silence. So anyway.
Is that something you can call dibs on?
Yes.
Okay.
I've called it.
All right.
But we got to play all three of the castle map packs. I used to know their names, but now I don't. Daybreak,
Perdition, Outcast.
Perdition and Outcast, yeah. And they were all really, really fun. They're big vehicle maps, but they don't feel so big if you're on foot. Because it's a lot like Avalanche. That's what reminded me of quite a bit, where it's a huge map for vehicles, but you can always cut across the center. And that way, so if you're on foot, it's not as unwieldy as, say, like Valhalla or something like that. And that was a lot of fun to play all of those. There is a hammer on Perdition.
There is.
So
it spawns near the very end,
yep.
But it's there.
It's very exciting. Kevin Franklin actually told us, Kevin Franklin actually told us yesterday that there was a little, when their Make-A-Wish kid, I think his name was Taj, who was at the booth and was playing, and he found the hammer and he beasted CTF with the hammer. So he just used it. He passed over the rocket launcher and everything, and won CTF using the hammer. And Kevin said that we're on first name basis now. Kevin said that he would capture that game film, and if not, he took a lot of pictures. So hopefully, we'll be able to feature that on the hub soon.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, this kid had the hammer, and he passed by the rocket launcher and didn't want to do with any other weapon but the hammer. He just wanted to stick with that.
We missed him by five seconds.
It's the best weapon in Halo. So.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Obviously.
It's the best looking weapon anyways.
So I was recording with the RUL guys early this morning.
That's Ready Up Live, just in case.
Yeah, Ready Up Live guys, and we talked about how I pulled the hammer a few times during Slayer matches and just creamed everybody to win Slayer games. So.
No one expects the
hammer. Really, it's for some of these maps, because of how open and close quarter they are, you can really just use a range of different weapons, and they're really applicable in every situation.
Yeah, the common theme along the maps is that there is a track on the outside. On all three of them.
Kind of like Rat's Nest.
Yeah, a lot like Rat's Nest, where if you hop in the Hog or the Mongoose, or even if you're, in the Wraith or Mantis or something, you can control the outer loop with that. But the inner part are all these tunnels, little buildings, things like that, that you can run in and out of to do hand-to-hand combat and pop out with your plasma pistol to, coordinate, bring down a vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good for teamwork, it's good for infantry, and it's also good for vehicle fights.
So it was a lot of fun. I think people are really going to enjoy them. I mean, we like being in vehicles. Cal and I tag team that all the time. And they were a lot of fun. Look forward to that dropping the 11th?
8th. The 8th. Forge Island is the 11th.
That's what I wanted to get to.
Give you any access to the Forge Island?
No, we got to. We only got to see it in the trailer or the panel that they did. That's the first that we got to see it. But I do have to say, one of them looks very Griffball-sized, and I think we're going to call it Griffball Island.
Actually, it's probably bigger than...
Well, I mean,
there's quite a few.
The smallest island, I think, might be Griffball Court-sized.
Maybe. We didn't get a close-up view, so...
No, it's hard to get perspective when all you've got is a Banshee to scale against. But that is really cool. And I promised Taco, they did say it was a completely flat surface, even though it might not look flat, because it has kind of... Not terrain, but like dirt and grass and stuff. It looks like a soccer field, so I think that'd be great for Griffball. And I'm looking forward to it. And it's free! Yay!
Yep. It's completely
free. So I was talking with a couple of race forgers last night, and they were worried that all three of those islands completely flat?
Yes.
Okay.
But they also said that in addition to the normal objects that you can forge with, it also has its own palette. So you can build a lot of stuff.
Maybe it'll have, natural dirt hills or something.
Maybe. I mean, it's possible.
That would be really cool.
Although
I've been asking for that stuff forever, but I know.
Well, I mean, I don't know what I was going to say.
I guess you can only do so much with rally rocks. that's what John keeps calling them in all my tracks.
Oh, those are important, too. It's a trademark, But they didn't touch on... racing so much, because I think they said what was the line just used? We are not commenting on future content. right? Something like that. Because someone did ask a question about it.
Oh, really?
I don't think that response was to race. I thought that was for something else.
Maybe.
I think that was a question to Halo 5 and what they would possibly do with in the future.
Yeah, definitely that. But someone did ask about racing, and it wasn't a no. So that's always a...
I think Kevin Franklin's response to that was looking... we're always looking at community feedback and looking of ways to bring back game types that community really enjoy. Mm-hmm. I think that was kind of the official response. I'd have to go back and watch the panel. But
which you can, because Dusty here recorded the whole thing and put it up. So you can actually watch all of it and listen to the really horrible questions that people asked.
The worst question of the night.
They weren't that interesting.
They were awful.
Not as bad as the Rooster Teeth questions.
Oh, yeah, those were just...
The Rooster Teeth panel, the questions were, like, they were terrible.
They weren't questions, they were statements
stories.
Of life.
Like, people would go up and say, hey, guys, I'm a big fan, I've been listening to you since the 8th grade, and here's my entire life since the 8th grade. And let me talk about 5 minutes about my life story. And at the end, where did you get the idea for Red versus Blue, I guess?
Yeah, it was kind of like an afterthought.
But no, it was like that one question, Goose, from last year, right?
Oh, the girl. Like, I'm a girl gamer, and no, none of that, thankfully. But
nobody asked Rooster Teeth about girthball.com at the panel.
No, which is sad.
Not like Goose did in the Reach, was it 2010?
Mm-hmm.
PAX Prime.
But I did talk to Bernie afterwards, and he said that he does have the Hub redirect that we gave to him a couple months ago, and that it's been given to whoever does the web stuff for that, and he said that he would follow up with them. Sorry, one of the weird noises just kicked in.
We can just poke him every 3 months when we see him. Literally poke him.
But
yeah,
I don't know.
Portal's still there if he ever wants to link to it.
He does. I think it's one of those things where he got it, he handed it off, and it just kind of sat on somebody's desk. So, but seeing us reminded him, and... especially since we had our awesome posters.
Oh yeah, at the start of the thank you, Goose. At the start of the Halo panel, when they were introducing people, they introduced Kevin Franklin, and of course we whipped up posters and jumped up and cheered.
Yep. So that was a lot of fun. And I mean, he called us up afterwards, because I'm sure it's because we did that, but the enforcers were shoving everybody out of the theater, and he's like, come here, and I'm like, well, Kevin Franklin says... come hither, you know that I will be there. There's no river too wide, no valley too low.
No, come on.
He is a good-looking guy, so...
Yes.
Of course, he's probably going to listen to this.
Check yourself there?
Yeah.
He's going to listen to this podcast.
He has a girlfriend, right?
Things can change. I have a husband. Things can change.
Hey!
they might want to swap or something.
He's... so nice, and he's always so happy, and he actually is featured on our pro run this week.
Yes, indeed.
So you'll get to see that, and so Lord and Savior, Kevin Franklin, very happy to have him, and I've touched him every day, so I gotta try again today.
Let your imagination flow from that one, folks.
You're never gonna wash your hands again?
Well, I hugged him on the first day, and then I said I would never bathe, but then Cal's like, well, you have to take a shower. So I went and touched him the next day. I think I got a hug that day, too. And I said I was never going to bathe again, and Cal made me take a shower. And then yesterday, I only touched his hand. So that one was okay.
You haven't washed your hands since?
Nope.
You can always just frame the clothes. They'll just smell like him, right?
Oh, that's a good idea. Wrap my pillow. Sorry. Poor Cal.
Are you going to edit this out?
No.
Anyway. I won't even edit it out.
No.
Cal's looking a little awkward right now.
It's a working relationship. We understand each other.
It's a working relationship and that you're working on it?
Is that a working, with air quotes, a working relationship?
Yes, yes.
I feel like we could eventually have like a whole line of like Kevin Franklin griffball products, like the Kevin Franklin bobblehead doll and things of that nature.
Maybe a Kevin Franklin cologne?
Oh, God.
Okay, awesome. Fine. You guys are no fun.
The Kevin Franklin blow-up doll?
There we go.
No,
okay. Yeah, anyway.
Kevin Franklin hammer
loop. Comes with the inflatable hammer.
For the record, he still has that. He still has that inflatable hammer that we gave him at PAX Pride. The one that everybody signed.
Nice.
So
that's cool.
He still has that. Something else cool at the Halo panel. I found a shirt. Isn't that cool?
Oh, nice. I don't see the video.
It is pretty cool. You found the shirt. I've got that shirt.
So, it was cool.
What shirt is it? Because I don't see the video.
The Halo 4 shirt. They were selling them at GameStop.
Yep, I actually got one from GameStop.
So that was cool too. So it was just win all around.
That shirt, though, nobody wanted it, and we don't know where it came from or who it belongs to.
There's a sticker on the back that says sample. So,
oops. Huh.
I don't know. It was just there, and I was like, hey, did anybody lose their shirt? And they're like, no. And so I went to 343 because I saw the sample on it. I'm like, is this yours? I'm like, oh, no, you have it. So now I have a shirt.
Yay. Free stuff.
That's too big for me. Just throwing it out there to anybody.
What size is it?
Large.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's too small for me.
Men's large. But.
So do we want to talk about any of the interesting stats from the panel?
Oh, yeah. What was it? 26 million bomb plants?
Yay. We're blowing stuff up. So, no, it was really cool that they had that. And the fact that they used Obex's screenshot of the gold grip with the gold background, you know, striking a pose for that was really cool.
I think that's the best Griff Ball screenshot ever.
Yeah, Obex does a fantastic job with those.
Yeah,
he liked it, and he liked how they put his name up on the screen, too, with it.
Oh, good. I was wondering. I hadn't been able to
check. Yeah, it was up in the top right.
No, I mean how Obex had responded to it.
Yeah, I talked to him last night. We were playing on his racetracks, and we talked about it for a minute.
I'm glad he saw it. That was really, really cool of him to do.
Yeah.
And
but this is the interesting one from the night.
Oh, the one incendiary.
So,
Mantis killer?
The big one that was, I think, everyone's kind of just tickle me moment was one Mantis annihilating Spartan vaporizing ball of death pulse grenade plant.
Yep. Done by Kevin Franklin.
Was it actually done by Kevin Franklin?
Of course, but I not
was
know.
Was he the Spartan? Was he in the Mantis or did he throw a grenade?
He planted it.
He probably planted the grenade. Yeah. So, it's they're looking to up that stat to 2. So I know the RUL guys are planning on trying to do it. So if you manage to catch it before they do, watch the video from the panel and see what exactly entails that.
Basically, the grenade goes off in midair with a Spartan spinning over a Mantis, and when it explodes, the Spartan disintegrates and destroys the Mantis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
Something to-do list, I guess.
Huh? Everyone go try it. We'll make a montage.
One of the nice things is that they showed us a video during that panel of how they can fine-tune and adjust all of the weapons. And although they didn't show the hammer, I think it's pretty safe to assume that
all weapons.
We can be seeing some changes at some point. Don't know when, but some kind of changes to the hammer reload soon.
Yeah, my thought about that was how is this going to work? Are they going to be able to do it via the game type?
It
would seem like, because they were talking about like they could apply it to matchmaking, so it seemed like it'd have to be like, it might be, maybe it's like back-end hidden things like Bungie used to have, or different tweaks.
I think it's like it would be like the explosion that's in the thing. Like, we can't turn the explosion off on the game type, but if you play the one on the disc, it's not there, but it's in the magic.
Yeah, if you download it, we can use it, yeah.
Yeah, so it's probably be like that, where if you use an old Griffball game type from the disc, the hammer will be super fast. If you use a new one from matchmaking, the hammer will be slowed down.
So, I mean, I hope it comes out.
I might have to send a message to Bravo and just see if if that's the deal, then just make sure we can get the game types and stuff to work with it.
Yeah. Bravo was very nice and very open, even though he was ragging on us a little bit during the panel. he was very nice and very excited to talk with us when we did. And
well, it seemed mostly Jess because, well, now I know why I never see her online playing Griffball, because apparently she's playing on alternate accounts.
Yep.
It's interesting, though, when during the panel that they mentioned Rate of Fire, because that's an odd thing to be able to look to tweak in weapons, because I don't really see it come up with other weapons besides us with the hammer. I don't know any other weapons that rate of fire is a big... Do you guys know what I mean?
I'd love to see the freaking crazy needler slowed down a bit. My God. It seems like as soon as someone pulls a trigger in that thing, you're dead.
Screw that. Speed that up.
Yeah.
All the needles fire everything.
I'm sorry. If they're going to nerf my beloved bolt shot.
Bolt shot, exactly.
Bolt shot still needs to be nerfed.
You have to be like this close to someone.
No, it's still.
You know what
big.
I want?
Still
I want the plasma range. Pistol they had in the demo.
Yeah, and so does Bernie.
Yeah, the one that with pew 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 and the tank explodes. Mm. That is what I want. That seems perfectly balanced to me.
Yep, you have to aim that thing.
Yeah, I think it's cool that they can do that, like, kind of, it seems like sort of on the fly. Like if they can do it per game types, they could really have some crazy shit in Axe and Sack then.
Yeah.
You know, with different weapon setups and stuff.
That's the impression I got, is that it's, you know, you can do it per weapon, per game type. That's just the impression that I got. And they were very excited to share it. And, you know, Cal and I and Dusty were talking about, you know, why would they go through so much trouble of creating this little kill room with all these tweaks? Because obviously those tweaks, you're never going to see them.
Not going to have the storm rifle that fires all of the bullets at once.
Right. Exactly. So they put that out there for a reason.
That would be awesome.
You know, they put that out there for a reason to show this is what we can do.
Use your imaginations.
Yeah. Extrapolate from that. So I think it's very exciting.
It's exciting, too, to look at other weapons and see what kind of tweaks could be made. Like Pup said, like, you know, would slowing down the needler make it a little better? Or does the sniper rifle need to be sped up a little bit? Or does the DMR need to be slowed down by a fraction of the second, or the battle rifle sped up to help balance those two?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not just about tweaking the damage, but you can tweak some of the more finer things about the weapons, too.
Yeah.
And one of the other things is they mentioned being able to tweak those on a per playlist basis.
Yeah.
So yes. A lot of things like Team Throwdown, where it's the competitive stuff. Kevin Franklin specifically pointed that out, where they're going to be able to fine-tune some of the competitive stuff, so it's a lot more balanced, a lot more the way they want it.
Mm-hmm.
And then leave all the other players kind of touched to their own specific tuning. And mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if there's another couple of playlists like Griffball and maybe some other playlists that we haven't even seen yet, to where those weapons are tweaked for specific game types. And I was talking with the Ready Up Live crew two nights ago,
mm-hmm.
and we talked about a wicked April Fool's joke that 343 could pull with this update.
Yeah.
Yeah. Put those weapons actually in that they were showing off.
Put them in the competitive playlist.
No. Yeah. Nerf the DMR.
That would be fantastic.
No.
That was awesome.
Don't hate on the competitive.
We're not. We're saying, we're playing with them. We're engaging them in playful banter, showing, hey, let's be friends.
Now, do you guys...
By completely destroying your playlist.
How is Griffball, though, not competitive?
Exactly.
Well, matchmaking. Matchmaking Griffball, I mean...
We have competitive skill ranks, too.
Well, considering we had a game that was 2 hours and 9 minutes long, how is that not competitive?
Oh, no, yeah. I mean, obviously...
We're more competitive because of that, and we're more dedicated.
Well, I mean, if 343 came into one of our league games and replaced our hammers with, like, a fish, like a cod or something...
That would be awesome.
That would be awesome. Pretty awesome. You know, you just walk around slapping people with a fish all game. We would be open
guys.
To it.
So the fishy's going on.
Oh!
You should totally suggest that. I would play all day with a fish. Like, beat you with my fish.
Charlie.
What?
Put your fish away.
But I'm not saying Griffball isn't competitive. I'm just saying from the overall perspective of Halo, there's
big fish
Team Throwdown, which is the competitive player.
Does it start to stink?
Griffball, and then everything else that kind of mixes in, intertwines.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, it'll be interesting to see. I mean, that would be a great April Fool's joke.
They did that last year, where in, like, one of the playlists, they increased the bloom in the DMR to, like, 1,000% for April Fool's Day.
Yeah. I think that's awesome. And if they turn Griff green for St. Patrick's Day, I can only look forward to what they're going to do. I can hope they do something on April Fool's Day.
It wouldn't be this year for that, because the update comes after April Fool's.
That's true.
So it'd have to be next year where they would do something like this. And that would be a complete blindside to most people, I would think, because
yeah, you'd forget about it.
I'm like, oh, they can do that.
But I think that's kind of one really cool thing about 343. And I mean, Bungie did it a little bit as well, but not only are they creating a game for the community to play, they're playing with the community. Mm-hmm. You know, they're engaging us by giving us little Easter eggs like that, showing that they're still invested and they're still interested in what they're doing, and they want us to have fun and enjoy it. And I really appreciate that. So, no, we do it on the Hub, too, as a community. We're constantly trying to think up things to keep people engaged and involved and having fun, as opposed to just letting things coast as they are. And yeah. I think it really shows that they're invested and they really want this to be the best game that can be there. And Kevin Franklin said point blank to Cal, and I think we might even have it on tape, that keep those lists of updates coming. Keep those suggestions coming, because they really do want to make it to be the best experience that it can be. Now, it might not be done on the timeline that we would like it to be done on,
mm-hmm.
But they are genuinely interested in our feedback, and I think that's great.
Well, from the Podtacker perspective, from a lot of the emails and things that we get on in terms of submissions and people that are commenting on our stuff, there's still a few weapon balancing details that I think a lot of people are still looking for. One of the big things among really competitive communities is the balance between the DMR and the BR.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a little tweaks like that where they're really looking for feedback, and they'll use probably test playlists to gather that, those statistics, and they can still tweak those on the back end. So week to week, they can actually make changes, and possibly even day to day, and see where the community really falls on when they tweak settings. So this just makes it just that much more easier for them to make these changes and updates instead of having to wait for a title update to, or another major update to push all these changes out.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess the long and short of it is that they're continuing to evolve. They still welcome feedback. They continue to want to give the community what it wants. And, you know, they're still a young studio. They're still kind of getting their feet wet and figuring things out. So, but they're great people. They're very nice to work with. And did we get... I mean, they gave us really awesome swag, so we can't really...
No, then there's probably some more swag that we might be able to pick up today. If they have any leftovers.
Oh, I have a button. They had these really cute little Master Chief and Cortana buttons for when you played the game, and that was a lot of fun.
I have no idea where Marty
even was. Oh, Louie Lou was here. I got to see him, and I got to hug him. And that was
I saw that picture of him. He looks like he's growing a winter beard.
I know. I think Grim Brother once said he looked like Sean Connery or Santa Claus.
Maybe it's a wizard beard.
A wizard beard. There you go. Yeah.
He was there yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
We got to meet up with some BigTeamBattle.net folks.
Yep. That was the community meetup last night.
Yeah. We got to meet up with Molten Sloa.
Yep.
Which Sloa is probably one of the biggest, coolest Halo fans out there.
Yeah, he's so hardcore about it. It's, I mean, in a really sweet, nice way. I mean, he arranged everything. He called the manager of the test kitchen, and he set everything up, and it was wonderful. And Cortana Sifo was there, or Cortana V. She's also known on Twitter. We saw the Ready Up Live guys, and they were really chill. We also, Top Gun was there, and that was the most awesome moment for me, because we sang Take My Breath Away together. And Duncan from HBO was also there.
Yep.
So it was really cool. And we got catcalled by 6OK. We were actually walking to the test kitchen, and someone leans out the window, Goose! And I'm like, I'm getting yelled at by a cab. What's going on? And it was 6OK with his lady friend, and... So we got to say hi to them for a little bit and then go on.
I don't know where he's been all this event, because I thought he was going to be here, and I hadn't even seen him or heard from him once.
Yeah, he was just walking around. What was that text?
Was that VA Gentle Nerd?
I don't know. He introduced me by her real name, so.
Okay. Probably her, because they were meeting up at PAX. She's a huge comic book fan, game fan.
Oh, okay. So it might be. I'm not entirely sure. I don't want to start spreading rumors or anything like that. But yeah, everybody's been super nice, super chill. You know, as people tend to be at PAX. And I know Dr. Sexton, my chair, and who did the panel with me, he even commented that he's been to a lot of conventions, but he's never experienced anything like this, where people are so nice and so kind and so open and so just relaxed about everything. And so yeah, it's been good. I mean, we've had a lot of fun. The only bad thing is that I think it's just too big because the lines are too long. I mean, for example, the Halo line wasn't bad, but there's a game by Capcom called Remember Me, and I really want to play it. But the line was 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to do that.
Well, it's like when they first announced Borderlands 2.
Yeah.
There's another game over there, Watch Dogs from Ubisoft, and I really want to get to see that. The line yesterday to watch that was... I think it was at the cap point.
Yeah, I mean,
throughout the event.
I don't know if, everyone did this, but, for Dragon Age 2, when it was announced, I told him straight up, I don't want to play it, I just want to watch someone play it. Mm-hmm. And they just allowed me to, go in there and watch someone play it. But it's, closed deal, so you don't necessarily have to play it. I don't know if that was just specific to them, but that's something, try in the future.
Yeah, but I did want to play it, because I've heard really good things about it, but we got to play Halo, so I'm happy.
I mean, PAX Prime is expanding to 4 days for just that reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, crazy.
There's another 8 hours on the show floor for people to sit.
Is it really 4 days now?
Yeah. Yes.
Is it going to be Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or Friday,
Saturday, Sunday?
No,
Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday to include Labor Day.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Do we want to talk about your panel? I know I've mentioned it a few times on our podcast.
Well, my panel was Saturday, so last night at 5 p.m., and it was awesome. We had a sold-out theater, so there were 400 seats, and there was a butt in every single one of them. And
oh, good.
Yeah, it was really exciting, and I thought it went really well. We captured it on audio and video, so that way we'll be able to upload it as, so you can watch the video, which I would recommend. I think the video is going to be the best way to consume it, because Cal's going to put in all of my slides, so that way you can actually see what we're talking about, because we do talk about graphs and stuff like that, and it's kind of hard to just hear it, but we will have, I'll release it as an audio-only version too, so if you want to download it as a podcast or something like that, you can do it too. But yeah, I thought it went really well. People had some really, really good questions. There was one person who tried to pull the I know more than you do thing, and, you know, Dr. Sexton, PhD squared, put him back down in his place, and it was awesome.
But he squared at him?
What?
You said he squared at him?
No.
Squared. Oh, square. Okay.
It just put him right back.
I'm like, wow.
Yeah, it was interesting, though, because at one point I'm talking, and you can see it in the video, too. So I think it's around, like, the 14-minute mark. And, like, four police officers come into the room and escort somebody out. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, what is going on? Is someone, like, disproving my research here by being bad? So I don't know what happened, but...
I don't think anyone figured out what happened after that.
I have no idea.
It's video games' fault. Video games are to blame.
Do you have that part on video?
No, because the camera was pointing at me, not
you
back.
Just get Goose's reaction.
Yeah, I kind of stop, and I had this really weird look on my face, and then I keep rolling. But so it was really good. I had 25 business cards, so like professional ones, like my real name and stuff on them, and they were gone. Like people just devoured them, and then I had to start giving out my hub cards. I'm like, this isn't my professional one, but you can still contact me here, because people were really interested in they wanted the slides and they wanted to ask questions.
Yep.
I had several people come up and going, oh, I'm doing research on this too. Can we talk? And I think the cutest question was, when I was in high school, I wrote a paper on video games and violence. And I was like, oh, that's so cute. I didn't say it out loud. I wanted to, though. And then he tried to fight me, and then I put him in his place. But, you know, it's all good.
This panel is a lot more violent than I remember it being. I don't remember these fights going on. People being put in their place or smacked around.
The kid was trying to say that video games were, in his research in high school, that video games were a catalyst for violence. And I was like, well, no, the research shows that they might shape the way in which violence takes place, such as, you know, if you play Grand Theft Auto, you might run over a prostitute. So it shapes how you might act out.
If you're already predisposed towards violence.
If you're already predisposed to it. So it's not going to be the catalyst of having it happen, but it might shape how it takes place. And he's like, well, I found it as a catalyst. And I was like, well, no, it's not a catalyst. You know, have you not listened to the last 50 minutes of our presentation? And then there was that one guy trying to get Dr. Sexton on the difference between depressive realism and that other really long word that Dr. Sexton used that I can't think of.
I think I zoned out for that one.
Yeah, I was sitting there going, I'm glad Dr. Sexton's here because I don't know how to answer that. But he was trying to show that I'm smart too and I'm here to consume your literature.
So it's like a PhD dance battle.
Yeah, yeah. Except he wasn't a PhD. Definitely not a squared. So, right. But no, the panel was really good.
Yeah, I would definitely recommend everyone listening to that because it goes through some really interesting points of video game behaviors mm-hmm. and how some of those correlations that is kind of widespread in the media is not really true.
Yeah, we really addressed some of the myths and talked about, you know, if you're going to consume literature, what to look for. Like, you know, did they use a convenience sample or did they actually get real gamers? You know, did they have people sit down? Because most of the time they have people sit down for 15 minutes and play a game and then record how they feel after that. And that's how they determine whether or not you become aggressive.
Yeah, if you took Halo away from me after 15 minutes, I'd be pretty angry, too.
Well, imagine sitting down and playing a game you've never played before.
That would also make me
trying
angry.
Trying to figure out the controls. And if it's a violent game, it's probably going to be a shooter, which have very complex controls to begin with. So imagine trying to, you know, figure out everything and engage in this environment, and you only have 15 minutes to do it. You can barely figure out a control scheme in 15 minutes. Right. So...
Well, and another thing to that is, even though you had a very good sample and you did it over a longer period of time, there were some people that came up with very good questions where if you were going to do this study again, you could do a lot more data mining and pull a lot more statistics.
The tough thing is that you have to go in with a very specific target, and then you work around that target. So what they said was really good, and if I was to run another study, not this one again,
right?
But if I was to run future studies, there are definitely interesting things to look at.
Which are the areas you can look at.
Yeah, but that's the tough part is that you know, I can't control what people play. You know, the fact that Borderlands 2 and Mass Effect 3 had just come out, that's what most people were playing. Mm-hmm. You know, right now it would be something else. And
SimCity.
Yeah, no one's playing SimCity. But no, because I could have started doing it in December, but I was like, I want to wait because people get video games for presents, and so their gaming hours probably go up because they're on break and they have these new games, so I wanted to wait. And I tried to find a time when there wasn't something new coming out, but obviously that didn't work. So, you know, it's one study. It needs to be repeated. It needs to be verified. And there's tons of confounds, but overall, it was a very good panel. So, in short.
Yeah.
Not really short.
And you might be doing this panel again?
Yeah, a couple of people asked if I'd be doing it at PAX, and I hadn't thought about it yet. And
PAX
but
Prime, to clarify.
Yeah, PAX Prime.
Yeah, I was like, you did it at PAX, yo.
And RTX as well, and I did submit it for RTX. So,
did you say someone invited you to PAX Oz to do it as well?
Yeah, there. We got an email. Some speakers got an email from PAX saying, "Hey, want to let you know, you're a speaker. Hope everything's okay. This is where you go to get your badge. Oh, by the way, if you wanted to go to PAX Australia, we would accept your panel right now." I'm like, well, that's great. Are you going to pay for me to go to Australia?
Because it's only about a grand a ticket.
I thought about it. I'm like, I wonder if Rally and Debbie would want to go with me.
Fear suggested you do a road trip.
Yeah.
We'll actually be stopping in Australia in May on our way to New Zealand.
See? There you go. I can just climb into their suitcase and go that way.
It's a really nice place to visit. I recommend going.
I've been once, but it was a really long flight, and that sucked. But, so what else? We went to a Kickstarter panel.
And yeah, that was very, very interesting.
It was really good and really helpful. And Cal and I were kind of thinking that maybe if our community is interested, we could maybe do a Kickstarter for the hub so that we could get a booth space at RTX.
Okay.
Bradley's like, I'm in.
How much do you need?
Shut up and take my money.
No
questions asked, right?
Obviously, this is very, very front end. We still need to do a lot of research and look into it. But the booth itself is $1,200.
Honcho and I are in as long as we get swag out of it.
That's just to reserve the space, though. That's not
that's,
all the,
yeah, that's just the
banners
space.
And all your swag.
Well, if you're going to do like a Griffball thing like that, you'd probably want to have it set up so people could play. Maybe even do like a small little tournament thing right there.
Well, I don't know for in terms of a booth, if you want someone where people are crowding around and playing, because that might clog up other booth spaces around you. I mean, you have the Griffball tournament that's going to be there anyways.
I mean, we're likely, we can't say 100%, but I'm going to talk to Barbara about getting Griffball back on the esports arena stage. But for the booth, we were thinking about having Griffball playable there. Okay. So you can try new maps, new game types. We could really showcase the community's maps. So you could see what our community has been making, what we're considering for matchmaking. Heck, we get people vote for their favorite maps and matchmaking, things like that. We'd also have swag like buttons, wristbands, lanyards. Small things like that. Nothing big like a t-shirt.
We could do. I mean, if you raised enough money from a Kickstarter campaign, you could give away t-shirts, yeah.
Yeah, and that's the kind of thing. I think we were thinking about, you know, maybe about 1,500, because that would cover, you know, the signage and the swag and things like that, as well as the booth space. But then reach goals would be like, well, if we hit this much, we could include t-shirts. And if we hit this much, we could get a larger booth. Because right now, the smallest one, which is one we'd go after, is 10 by 10.
The only thing is, for a Kickstarter thing, don't you usually have to give something back? Like, I don't know what...
What do you mean, give something back?
So a lot of Kickstarter projects is, once it's done, whoever donates gets something back.
There's perks for it.
Yeah, so how does that work with products?
It's standard, but it happens a lot.
It'd be like, if you donate $5, you get donor status on the hub, which is something we already have set up anyway. You know, if you donate $100, you know, it would be limited to one, because that's what they talked about, limited.
I'll send you a nude photo of myself.
Yeah, you get the text.
You should still have Pub do a voicemail for their phone.
So that's what you could do.
You get the text 2013 calendar.
We were also thinking, you know, $100, you could be a guest commentator on Wednesday Night Griff Brawl. You know, for $50, you could be a guest on the Hubcast. So things that we can give the community that we don't necessarily
have
to.
That don't cost anything.
That don't cost us anything. You know, donate $25.
Yeah. For $1,000, I'll come defile your porch.
There you go. You know,
what?
For $1,000, I'll just show you how to,
Anyway, but, you know, maybe something like $25, you know, we'll put your gamer tag at the end of our RTX Griffball highlight reel. you know, it's just stuff like, it doesn't necessarily cost us anything to give, but it's stuff that, you know.
That's a good way to do it.
I mean, look at the look at what Penny Arcade did, is that they put up a Kickstarter a few months ago where it was fund our site for a year. And, you know, we're asking for $500,000 or whatever it was to fund Penny Arcade and, you know, some of their expenses for a year. And that's what the Kickstarter was. People didn't get, it's not like people were.
They got ad free.
Yeah, it's not like they were fundraising for, you know, give us money and we'll make the next chapter of our Xbox Live Arcade game. You know, it wasn't something like that. It was just fund our site. If we get the money, then we'll, you know, the site will be up and we don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, and you won't have to worry about it. And so, I mean, again, just something that we're kind of teasing with, because there are going to be so many people there. And we could do something like the Check a Challenge, where we have screenshots and people write out a caption and put it into a fishbowl, and we draw out a winner and they get something. You know, so things like that. And I don't think we'd actually sell anything at the booth, mostly because, well, we're still kind of figuring that out, because we figure...
What would you sell?
I mean, if we wanted to make, like, RTF Scriffle Hub exclusive t-shirts.
Oh, okay.
Something like that. But we also realize that it's going to be at Rooster Teeth's home, and they're going to be selling Griffball shirts and bags and
well, if you're selling Griffball Hub specific stuff,
yeah.
That should
so
be
we're
okay.
You know, we want to make sure that we don't step on any toes. And again, this is the very beginning, and we're, you know, we're going to talk to them. But
we could work out a deal with Bernie and sell some of that Griffball stuff at the Griffball Hub booth.
That's what Cal said. So I mean,
yeah, the Griffballs, the plushies.
Yeah, it's totally possible. So the only thing that's a concern is that half of the money for whatever you want, whether it's booth, signage, advertising, whatever it is due May 2nd. The rest of it is due after May 2nd. So we're kind of almost on a time crunch here to get everything figured out. But it is something we're seriously considering, and we would love to hear feedback from the community about, one, if you're going to RTX, is this something that you'd want to have there to go see? Two, would, even if you're not going RTX, would you be interested in funding this? And three, what kind of rewards would be interesting for you guys to have that we could stagger out? That kind of thing. So I even told Cal, $500 and I'll send you a batch of cookies.
Yeah.
You know?
They're worth it.
That'd be interesting.
They're totally worth it.
Since we have plenty of still. Another thing on RTX, which is interesting, it's not officially confirmed yet, but Goose and I will be doing a panel about podcasting, along with Lindsay from Rooster Teeth and Roadblock from Late Night Jigga Jam, or now Glipshark.
Yep, Glipshark. So that's in the works, and the Griffball panel submitted for RTX, and that's in the works, and I actually submitted my dissertation panel again, so that's in the works. So a lot of really exciting stuff coming up. But yeah, especially for that Kickstarter, let us know if you're interested in what you would be interested in, because I think we could do it. I really think that we could. When we have over 2,000 people on the site, so if everybody kicked in a dollar, like we would.
Well, we have about 10,000 listeners. So
yeah, we would already
exceed our goal. If you guys like Griffball and you want to see Griffball at RTX, and definitely help the hub out.
Yeah. Just throw it out there to the universe at the moment, and I'm sure on our plane ride home we'll be brainstorming some more things.
The Kickstarter panel was really, really cool.
It was really good.
I didn't realize this, but the Cards Against Humanity started as a Kickstarter project.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
Yeah, I thought
it was pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's very professionally done. I thought it was, you know, some company, you know, maybe the same company that we had Apples to Apples made Cards Against Humanity.
I've actually played with two guys that made it up in Chicago via my brother.
Yeah, it is an excellent game.
We actually played it before the panel, the Halo 4 panel.
We played it in line.
We were in the third line and we were at the front, so we just broke out cards and there were a few other people there, and we had an 8-person Cards Against Humanity game. And
we had more
really
people
fun.
Around us watching too and laughing at all the answers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good spectator game as well. It shows you certain personalities about people.
Yeah.
It's revealing. Mm-hmm. Which I'm sure you were just loving every minute
of it. Oh, my brother. You about Nazis or anything of that, okay.
Well, no, I mean, Nazis is like the de facto answer for just about anything for Cards Against Humanity.
They
There's
are
a few
terrible
others. There's some other ones.
Yeah, they actually had a room at PAX, it's just a Kickstarter room, and it has all these projects that were funded by Kickstarter, including Cards Against Humanity. And you could actually go, and they had their extension packs.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah,
it was all via Kickstarter as well.
Yeah.
Used to the normal expansion packs.
The expansion packs. And they also had a special PAX East expansion
what?
Pack. It was only like five cards, but it was really
Did
cool.
Did they? Oh, okay. Only five. What were the five cards, if I may ask?
Mm-hmm.
It was like, I knew I had gotten PAX, the PAX Plague after I blank.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's pretty good.
So this is the B pack. And so we got loading from a previous save as a white card. Sharpening a foam broadsword on a foam whetstone is another white card. Rocket launcher depression that ensues after catching them all. So book one reference. Violating the first law of robotics, getting inside a heretic cube with a hot babe and pressing the transmute button. Punching a tree to gather wood. Minecraft.
Mm-hmm.
Spending the year's insulin budget on Warhammer 40K figurines.
Mm.
And then two black cards. All stations, second edition, one throughout the fleet, and embrace four blank. And then the final round of this year's Omegathon. Omeganauts must face off in a game of blank.
Those are different than my cards.
Nice.
So there's three different packs expansions.
Oh. Okay, that's why.
Yep. The panel was really cool because the guy who does Cards Against Humanity walked us through an entire Kickstarter project there, live on stage, where if anyone's familiar with the game Werewolf or the game Mafia, he put together cards for that game where, it was a lot like the Cards Against Humanity. And so he had a video set up, walked us through the project. He set a $200 fundraising goal, and if somebody were to give $10 to his Kickstarter, he would send them a copy of these Werewolf cards. And so he published it. And the other person on that panel was the person from Kickstarter who approves projects. So he loaded up his email, read out the email he got, and replied to it and approved the project. And then it went back to the other guy. And then people in the audience pulled out their phones and pulled up the Kickstarter app and were all giving $10 to this guy's project. And we watched in the audience, and within 30 seconds, he hit his $200 fundraising goal. 3 minutes. He hit his $200 goal.
And we were like,
"Ah!" And then by the end of the panel, he was over 1,000. He was like 1,500 or something.
Mm-hmm.
So. Jesus.
And who says gamers aren't thoughtful?
I mean,
that was a really, really cool panel.
Our nerds.
They had a lot of really good advice, you know, things like if you're not already known or if you don't already have a reputation for being like honest and straightforward, you might want to give away your first thing for free so that people kind of get to know you. And, you know, I was thinking about the Hub. We've been doing this for 5 years.
You give away a lot for free.
We do. So I think a Kickstarter is definitely something that we could do. Hopefully more information on that coming soon.
Mm-hmm.
What else did we go to?
Morse code.
I wasn't able to hit anything else.
We went to another panel. We did a couple panels.
Went to the game night.
Yeah, it was fun. They played basically the match game, and they played Jeopardy. And Major Nelson lost pretty badly at Jeopardy.
Yeah, he was a guest on the Jeopardy game night. It wasn't even close.
Nope.
I heard he got one question.
Yep, he got the X. It was
the code name for the Xbox 360.
Yep, he got that right. But he wasn't even the first to ring in. So. But he got it.
Yeah.
So. Oh, sorry. Yeah, today we're going, I have a scheduled dance battle at 11:30. So we're going to have to head out for that soon with Sloa and a couple other Rodeo Blad guys who want to do Gangnam Style. So
yep.
We'll rock that. And there's another panel at 1 that I want to go see. And I'm sure we'll drop by the 343 booth and say hi to people again.
Say goodbye.
It's never goodbye to Kevin Franklin. It's only till later.
Until next time.
I'm saying goodbye.
I'm saying
goodbye. Anyways,
back to Earth. But I don't
wanna. But there's a lot of good stuff that went on in PAX. The show floor, there's a lot of interesting new things there.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I still want to see, which I haven't seen yet, is Watch Dogs.
Yeah.
Like I said earlier, there's not any Minecraft. There is a Minecraft thing, but it's sold by a third-party vendor.
Yeah, you can get like a pixelated pickaxe and hammer.
Yeah, it's a gold pickaxe and sword. That's all they have.
Yeah.
So that was a little disappointing.
But we did see an inflatable energy sword.
We did.
And I want to know where...
Yeah, you want one of those.
Yeah. I think someone's knocking at our door. I wonder if we were supposed to check out.
Do you want to go check out?
No. We're getting kicked out.
Yeah, like, take the camera, the thing, run. You, like, go out into the hall and continue the podcast.
Yeah, do the podcast from the front stoop.
I think we covered everything, though.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty succinctly.
We covered the panel, we covered Thursday night, we covered your panel.
Yes, you can read the recap of the Halo panel that we posted yesterday, and Broadwind's coming out later today. And we might have some other PAX news recaps coming out as well.
We gotta go.
Okay, Goose looks panicked.
I'm not panicked, I am insistent.
So happy...
That's it from all of us, I guess.
Yeah, so happy Hubcast episode 150, the Sesquicentenny cast, and Podtacular episode 9000.
356. So I'm going to forgo my normal outro for this time since we have to leave.
Yeah, we got to go.
But for us, follow us Twitter, Facebook, social stuff.
All right, heart you all. And we will be back soon to the normal schedule of
yes,
stuff.
Podcast will be resuming this Thursday night at 10 p.m.
Okay, bye.
Yay, bye.
See ya.